This is class number two. The story is called Bhagavan Acharya's Mayavadi Brother. This is from Antya Lila, chapter 2, verse 84 through 100. Purushottame Prabhu Pashe Bhagavan Acharya Parama Vaishnavateno Supandita Arya. At Jagannath Puri, in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, lived Bhagavan Acharya, who was certainly a gentleman, a learned scholar, and a great devotee. So this is quite a glorification. Parama Vaishnava Supandit Arya. Like we have the Aryans, Arya Nivas guest house in Jayapur. The Aryan civilization, Aryan. Generally, Prabhupada defines Aryan as a person who is progressing in spiritual values. He's making advancement and cultivating spiritual qualities and values and ethics in his life. A spiritually advancing person is called an Aryan. So it also means a gentleman. So he was a Parama Vaishnava, a very great Vaishnava. And he was Supandita. Pandit means learned person, but Su means extremely so, excessively so. So who was that person? This was Bhagavan Acharya. So he was in Puri. And he was in, so now we have to think, okay, we're in Jagannath Puri, we're with Lord Chaitanya, this is one of his associates or friends, Bhagavan Acharya. He's a very exalted personality. And it says that, that this a little more about Bhagavan Acharya. He was in Puri, but he was also born there. He was one of the Aryan devotees who was very liberal and simple. And other devotees who were Aryan devotees were Brahmananda Bharati, Shiki Mahiti, Madhavi Mahiti, and Brahmananda Bharati. And this is, of course, the Bhagavan Acharya. And in Krishna Lila, Bhagavan Acharya is Sweta Manjari. Sweta. Sweta means, I think, white, like Sweta Dweep. Sakya Bhava Kranta Chitta Gopta Avatar Swarup Gosai Saha Sakya Swarupa Gosani Saha Sakya Vyavahar. Bhagavan Acharya was fully absorbed in thoughts of fraternal friendship with God. He was an incarnation of a coward boy, and thus his dealings with Srup Damodar Goswami were very friendly. So here it says Sakha Vyavahar. It's very interesting because the translation here in word for word is Sakya Vyavahar, dealings just like those of a friend. But in the Gauranga Nishtipika it tells that he was a gopi. So it could mean that he either has a form as a gopi and a gopa. But it says that he had very friendly dealings with Srup Damodar. Srup Damodar is Lita Sakhi, so it's assumed that probably he was a Sakhi or a Manjari, because that's what Kavi Karnapur is saying. Ekanta Bhave Ashri Yachena Chaitanya Charan Madhya Mande Prabhura Tenho Kina Nirmantran. Bhagavan Acharya sought shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet with full surrender. Sometimes he would invite the Lord to dine at his home. Madhya Madhya Prabhu Teno Karina Nirmantran. Gare Bhatta Kari Karin Vivida Vyanjan Ekale Gosani Lana Karana Bhojan. Bhagavan Acharya prepared varieties of rice and vegetables at home and brought the Lord there alone to eat. So that's very nice, only one house guest. Bhagavan would cook very nicely. They invite the Lord to come and eat. How fortunate. One can only imagine. This is Srila Prabhupada's verse, purport to verse 87. Generally, those who invited Mahaprabhu for dinner used to offer him the remnants of food that had been first offered to Jagannath. Bhagavan Acharya, instead of giving him remnants of Jagannath's food, prepared dinner of his home. In Orissa, food offered to Jagannath is called prasad. And that which is not offered to the Lord is known as amani, or garabhat, rice prepared at home. Because this story is about Bhagavan Acharya. It's describing, ultimately, Bhagavan Acharya is Mayavadi brother. So before we meet the Mayavadi, let's say the anti-party to the Vaishnavas, then Krishna's Kaviraj wants to introduce us to the foil. There's a foil and a counterfoil, the hero and the anti-hero. So the hero, of course, is Srup Damodar, but the anti-hero or the antagonist is this Mayavadi, right? So anyway, Bhagavan Acharya, he's a Brahmin, and so Lord Chaitanya can accept food from his hand. It is a principle in Madhukari, even in Madhukari, that the Vaishnavas, when they go house to house in Braj to beg food, they will not go to anyone's house. They will only go to the house of Brahmins. When Prabhupada was doing installation in LA, Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Temple, he asked Guru Das, who was the temple president, and Yamuna, his wife. He said, I think that to do the installation, our own devotees can do it. You and Suravi can do it, and also Yashoda Nandan. We can just have fire yoga and do Sankirtan, Harinam. All the time, one day, 2 days, just keep Akanda Kirtan, Harinam going on, and the deities we can install in a simple way. And then they said, Prabhupada, I'm afraid if you do that, this temple will not be accepted as bona fide by Radharaman. Who knows if they even accept it now. But he suggested that all the functions are done by Brijbasi Brahmins. Sometimes it's told they were South Indian Brahmins from Sri Rangam that came and did the yajna and pran pratishtha and Mandir Pravesh of Radha Shamasundar. But in Gurudas's biography, he said that they were Brijbasi Brahmins. At any rate, they were outside Brahmins. So Prabhupada surrendered and allowed outside Brahmins to do all so many yajnas, only to be accepted, that our temple be accepted. Otherwise, they say, what? They didn't do any proper, they didn't do the proper rituals. Mandir Pravesh and Thakur Pratishtha and all these things, you know. So just to keep the peace, he did like that. Because Bhagavan Acharya is a Brahmin, and so he therefore, he can offer food from his hand to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya met his brother, and externally he was very diplomatic. He was pretending, yes, hello, nice to meet you, you're the brother of Bhagavan Acharya. But it said, Antaryami Prabhu, Chitte Sukhana Paila. Antaryami Prabhu. The translation is that Lord Chaitanya was studying the nature of his heart. It says, Antaryami Prabhu means one who has the ability to know your heart. You can study the nature of your heart. Shukana Paila. And knowing the heart of this Gopal Bhattacharya, it says, in his chitta, or in his consciousness, he didn't feel any happiness, no ulas. But Lord Chaitanya, it says right here, that he pretended to be happy to meet Gopal Bhattacharya. Oh, I'm happy to meet you. Oh, you're the brother. You're the younger brother of Bhagavan Acharya. I'm very happy to meet you. Oh, and you've just returned from Benares, where you've been studying Sharirakya Bhashya. You've been studying the Mayavadi commentary, and you're a Pakka Mayavadi. Oh, I'm very happy to meet you. But in his heart, it said that it was completely no happiness and nahaya ulas. no jubilation, nothing. So this is called love at first sight. You have this phrase, love at first sight. So he was disgust and rejection at first sight. Because he understood in his heart he's an offender. God has no face, God has no arms, no eyes. And he's God. And he's meeting this man who hates him. He's meeting this person who denies his personality. And he's looking at, oh, very nice to meet you. You think I have no eyes, you think I have no face, you think I have no legs, no hands. I can't accept any offerings, I can't move anywhere. Oh, I'm very happy to meet you. But inside, outside showing one thing, inside another. So this is called diplomacy. It's called social dealings. It's quite the common. It's interesting social comment and societal comment. And even 500 years ago, there was even the Lord is a master of behavior. He's the master of behavior. That's what acharya means. Acharya means to be a master of behavior, a transcendental master of behavior. And that's what someone was remarking. We saw this film of our Gurudev last night. Remembrances. They show videos and devotees remember. And it's quite impressionable. It's actually all coming out of my mind, just remembering it. And they were saying how Prabhupada would meet these newspaper reporters, and so many interviews he had in airports upon arrivals, or when he was in the temple and news stations. And the disciple, the godbrother, was remarking how, although Prabhupada challenged their beliefs and challenged their paradigm that they were living in, this modern materialistic culture of technology, and so he challenged them and he made them think. But at the same time, he never offended anyone. Prabhupada was never aggressive. Prabhupada never offended everyone. He actually appreciated all these people and actually was very loving and very kind towards all these people. And all these people, they could perceive it, and they would laugh with Prabhupada and they would smile with Prabhupada. Everyone ultimately went away with a smile. Not like if we preach to someone, they say, oh, that Krishna guy is, or something, you know, they walk away, that Hare Krishna, he has no manners. Because Prabhupada actually loved everyone. If the basis is love, then you can't get in trouble. If you're calculating and have some angle, then you're bound to get some reaction, some rebound. So Prabhupada was always, whatever you broadcast, that comes back to you. So Prabhupada was broadcasting this loving mood and compassionate mood, Vaishnava Kripambudi, the ocean of mercy. And that mercy would come in waves from Prabhupada's glance. And then we watched on the movie that there was this television reporter, and he had very long hair, big sideburns. And he said, Swamiji, why do you cut your hair? And Prabhupada said, it's very clean. So he's implying in one sense in that if you have long hair, you're very dirty. Or that long hair is very dirty. And he said, it's very clean. But that's all. It was a very... And the guy said, yes. And then the guy, I forget some of the other things, but then when Prabhupada was leaving, the reporter stood up and he held Prabhupada's chair. He pulled his chair up behind him so he could get up easily from the table where they were interviewing him. And then he walked alongside of Prabhupada to kind of help him, the old man. And you could see that his expression was not formal. The newspaper reporter, it was not a formal expression. It was actually love. He was doing it lovingly. And Prabhupada caught his heart. And in such a way that he elicited the primordial desire to serve, not himself, but serve another person. In this case, a pure devotee of the Lord. So his bhakti lata had sprouted by Prabhupada's glance, lochan, it's called lochan kripa, just the glance of the pure devotee or the words. And when a very interesting other point, because when you hear that everything becomes adjusted, when he first sat down next to Prabhupada, and they were quite close, and he was looking at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was like this, and he wasn't really much looking. Did you notice how Prabhupada wasn't really looking at the guy? His big afro hair and everything. I was like,
He was kind of like looking at the camera more, just looking at Krishna or whatever. And the guy was just sitting to the side. Well, Swamiji probably didn't like this type of thing. It wasn't really eye contact as normally you would think. He was like, isn't it, it's so regal. And okay, respectful, but still the love was coming without all this eye-to-eye like energy type thing. And then when the man started off, he said, You Hare Krishnas. You people, you Hare Krishnas, I see you. And he said, Hare, like as a name, and like Henry VIII in England. So the nickname, Henry means Hare. He said, you Hare Krishnas, like this, Hare Krishna. And then about 5 minutes later, because Prabhupada was saying, actually this is Hare Krishna movement. He actually could hear, because later when he's pronouncing, he says, well, you Hare Krishna people. He was Hare, that when he heard from the pure devotee, oh, you're not Hare, you're Hare. So he said, but Hare, he said, Hare Krishna. He actually got initiated in the mantra. He heard the mantra in his ear because he saw it and he heard on the other TV channels, and he was told by his boss to interview the Hare Krishnas. Some Hare Krishna gurus coming over. So you interview and make up some questions. I'm going to interview the Hare Krishna guru. But then when he got initiated, he heard the Maha Mantra correctly, and because he was submissive and had a seva bhav, then he was able to reproduce it. Exactly. I mean, I've met many kids and people over the years. I say, can you say Hare Krishna? Can you say Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna? Or Hare Krishna? They can't even say it. And this man, just by a Lava Matra, a small association with Prabhupada, he was on the path of perfection, solidly. And it was very, did you hear that? How he said, Hare Krishna, you Hare, he said, well, yeah, Hare Krishna, and in 5 minutes, Hare Krishna. I was like, this is called Sadhu Prabhav, the influence of the Sadhu, the genuine Sadhu, in just a few minutes, right? Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. So this is Bhagavan Acharya. Next verse we have here. This is from Anti Leela, chapter 2. Sarupa Gosanir Acharya Kahe Aradine. Vidanta Padya Gopal Asi Yachaye Kane. Bhagavan Acharya said to Surup Damodar, my younger brother has returned to my home having concluded his study of Vedanta philosophy. Sabe me le aista shuni, mbashya iharastan, prema krodha kadi swarup, mbalaya vachan. Bhagavan Acharya requested Surup Damodar Goswami to hear from Gopal the commentary on Vedanta. Because first, before anyone could present something to Krishna, some poetry or some writing, I mean to Lord Chaitanya, they had to present it to Surup Damodar. Because he was like his, not didn't really have a secretary, but his friend and associate. And he was screening people from just disturbing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhav or his mood of meditation, his mellow service. So he was a screen interviewing and checking. And of course, that's the same thing. We want to approach Krishna Radharani, then we have to go through Lalita Sakhi and Rupa Mandri and whole Guru Parampara. So the same thing is here. So when Surup Damodar heard that, he became somewhat angry because of love, and he spoke as follows. Prema krodha kadi sarup balya vachan. Prema krodha. In an angry mood of love. So it's a very interesting combination. Generally, the idea of anger is associated with not with love, but the opposite of love, which is hatred. Hatred and anger. If you hate someone, then obviously you're angry with someone. If you love someone, usually you're generally happy with that person, if you love them. Well, this is an interesting combination, prema and krodha, love and anger. Or we have in Jagannath Puri, sometimes Jagannath Swami would have a prema kalaha. Of course, that was called lover's quarrel. Kalaha means quarreling, argument. So Lakshmi and Jagannath don't get along so well around Rath Yatra time. Gets a little difficult. So Surup Damodar was angry. So he said to Surup Damodar, Budi brashto haila tomara gopala sange? Mayavada Shunibari Upajila Ronge? Booty brushed. Your booty's crashed. Your hard drive crashed. Your intelligence is defunct. You've lost your brain. Have you lost your intelligence in the association of your younger brother Gopal? And therefore you're eager to hear Mayavad philosophy? Are you crazy? That was the proposal Bhagavan Acharya was making. Swarup Damodar, please listen to my Mayavadi brother's commentary in Vedanta. So the commentary in Vedanta is the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. But that would only be spoken generally by Vaishnava, although Mayavadis also speak. So now he has more to say in this point. Vaishnava hana jeva sharirakya bhashye sune savya sevaka bhava chari apanare ishwaramane. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, so this is, for us, this is law. Swarup Damodar is a Shiksha Guru of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, just as Lita Sakhi is a Shiksha Guru of all Sakhi Manjaris. Everyone knows that. She's the leader of all the Sakhis. The leading Yukteswar is the Lita Sakhi. So she's also training on that level. You read in the writings of Raghunath Das Goswami and others that they're praying, when will I submit at the feet of Vishakha and Lalita, and they will teach me singing. They will take me to the side and teach me how to sing and play Veena for the pleasure of Radharani. They will be my teachers. They will be my instructing gurus, my Shiksha gurus, Lalita and Vishakha. I will be sent to them by my guru. And I will learn the nuances and the finery of serving in Madhuri Bhav, under their tutelage, Lalita and Vishakha. So that's on the plane of Siddha. But on the plane of sadhaka, we are sadhakas, aspiring for perfection. On the plane on the sadhaka roop, or sadhaka bhajan, we are also under the guidance of Lita, but in our gaur-sarup. Lita Sakhi's gaur-sarup is Swarup Damodar Goswami. And when anyone would approach Lord Chaitanya for shiksha, or for guidance in bhajan, what would he say? Take shelter of Swarup Damodar. Raghunath Das Goswami, when Raghunath Das Goswami, he was put under the care and teaching of Swarup Damodar Goswami in Jagannath Puri for 16 years. But one time towards the end of his stay there, it just so happened by coincidence, he approached Lord Chaitanya and he said, I've been learning so many things. I've learned so many things from my teacher, from my Shiksha Guru. Swarup Damodar Goswami is a Shiksha Guru, just like we say in ISKCON. You may have a Diksha, this person or that person may be your Diksha Guru, but Srila Prabhupada is a Shiksha Guru of every member of ISKCON, and his books are the guiding light or principle. This is a general law or operating principle of ISKCON. Prabhupada is the universal Shiksha Guru. So for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the teachings and words and example and ideas and conceptions given by Swarup Damodar are very important for all of us, and they're contained especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we can approach Lord Chaitanya as through the mercy of Swarup Damodar. So he's giving a very important instruction here. He's saying, listen, Bhagavan Acharya, when a Vaishnava listens to the Shariraka Bhashya, which is the Mayavadi commentary upon Vedanta Sutra, he gives up the conscious attitude that the Lord is the master and the living entity is his servant. Instead, he considers himself to be the Lord. Aham, right? Narayan, I am Narayan, Namo Narayan. Aham Brahmasmi, that's the beginning. I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am the Supreme Brahman, I am Narayan. Prabhupada's Tika. A Vaishnava should study the commentaries on Vedanta Sutra written by the four Sampradaya Acharyas, Sri Ramanuja Acharya, Madhva Acharya, Vishnu Swami, and Nimbarka. For these commentaries are based upon the philosophy that the Lord is the Master and that all living entities are His eternal servants. One interested in studying Vedanta philosophy properly must study these commentaries, especially if he's a Vaishnava. These commentaries are always adored by the Vaishnavas. The Mayavad commentary, Shariraka Bhashya, is like poison for a Vaishnava. It should not even be touched at all. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur remarks that even a Mahabhagavat, or a highly elevated devotee, who has surrendered himself unto the lotus feet of Krishna, sometimes falls down from pure devotional service if he hears the Mayavad philosophy of the Shariraka Vashya. This commentary should therefore be shunned by all Vaishnavas. So there's one more. He states, Sura Damodar continues, Mahabhagavata ye Krishna prana dhanajar Mayavada shravane chitta avashya fire tanra. The Mayavada philosophy presents such a jugglery of words that even a highly elevated devotee who has accepted Krishna as his life and soul, Krishna pranadan, changes his decision when he reads the Mayavada commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Such a powerful commentary. Acharya kahayama sabara krishna nishta chite ama sabarman vashyanare virayate. In spite of Srut Damodar's protest, Bhagavan Acharya continued, we are all fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna with our hearts and minds. Therefore, the Shariraka Bhasya cannot change our minds. So he's saying that we are Krishna Nishta. Krishna Nishta Chitte. Our consciousness is fixed. Nishta. Our hearts, our consciousness, our hearts are dedicated and devoted to Krishna. How can we be moved from that position? How is it possible? I don't believe what you're saying. Sarupa kahe tatapi maya vada shravane chit brahma maya mitya e macha shune. Srut Damodar replied, nevertheless, when we hear the Mayavad philosophy, we hear that Brahman is knowledge and that the universe of Maya is false, right? Jagan Satya Brahman, Brahman Satya Jagan Mitya. But we gain no spiritual understanding. Jivangyana kapite ishwari sakla iyagyan yahara shravane bhaktir fate manapan. The Mayavad philosopher tries to establish that the living entity is only imaginary and that the Supreme Personality of God is under the influence of Maya. Hearing this kind of commentary breaks the heart and life of a devotee. So this is the statement that Srut Damodar is using here. He's trying to advise Bhagavan Acharya that your proposal to hear your younger brother's explanation of Shariraka Bhasya is not appreciated. And your argument, I don't accept your argument. I reject your argument that if you're a Krishna Chitta, Krishna Nishta Chitta, that you're free from, you're protected from the influence of this commentary. He's saying, all right, nevertheless, you say like that, that may be true. But still, we don't gain any spiritual improvement by hearing about it. It doesn't improve our situation. It's not anukulya. It's not bhakti anukul. It's not favorable to increase our attachment to Krishna by hearing such thing. And then he explained further. He said that their philosophy is that the living entity, the jiva, is only an imagination. He says, jiva jnana kalpit is kalpita, like kalpana. Kalpana means dream. And jiva is just a dream. He's just an imagination. He's covered with ignorance. He thinks he's real. So then he says, a little bit excited, although he's a pure devotee of the Lord and associate of Lord Chaitanya, his brother just came from Benares after graduating from Mayavad school. And he was a little proud, some pride. He wanted to introduce him to Srut Damodar and have Srut Damodar hear his commentary in Mayavad philosophy. And after getting duly sauced by Srut Damodar, then Bhagavan sent his brother out to get lost. Go back home. Go home. Get out of here. So, of course, the moral of the story is Bhagavan Acharya's Mayavadi brother So the basic idea of the story is, we heard, it's interesting because it's kind of counterpoint. We heard the story opened up by glorifying Bhagavan Acharya, his lineage and his qualities of devotion, and how intimate and how much he was favored by the Lord. The Lord so much appreciated his heart. One of the key points of the story was Antaryami Prabhu, Shukana Paila. Antaryami Prabhu, that Mahaprabhu can study everyone's heart. And if the heart is pure and the heart is devotional, then Lord Chaitanya finds great ulas, happiness and jubilation in the association of such a personality. But if the heart is full of aparad, the heart is full of offensive mentality or offensive philosophies, if the heart is full of atheistic philosophies or offensive philosophies, and then the Lord is to meet such a person, then he doesn't feel much happiness. And it's practically the same person. Can you imagine how, in one sense, insensitive Bhagavan Acharya appears to be acting? Because so he couldn't understand. Apparently he couldn't understand, because when his brother Gopal Acharya met Mahaprabhu, when his brother Gopal, then Lord Chaitanya was very cordial with him. Oh, you're the younger brother of Bhagavan Acharya. I'm very happy to meet you. It's very nice. But in his heart, it said, Shukana Paila. Because he examined him. He could understand without any introduction about what he was all about. He could understand, this man's heart is full of envy of God. This man's heart is full of hatred of God. This man's heart is full of offenses, aparad, Bhagavan aparad. I don't like this person. So it says, Shukana Paila. He felt no, and Chitta, what does it say? Chittana Sukha. Chitta Sukana Paila. No happiness he felt in his heart or his consciousness by meeting this person. But he feigned, as Prabhupada said, he feigned or pretended to be happy. Basic social decorum. Because Bhagavan Acharya, on the other hand, Lord Chaitanya would go regularly to dine at his house and eat the food prepared from the hand of Bhagavan Acharya. And generally, you can imagine how selective Lord Chaitanya is. He's eating the food directly from his hand. And other devotees and associates would also invite Lord Chaitanya for lunch, but they were not Brahmins. And so they knew that they were not qualified. Well, they loved Lord Chaitanya and they were great devotees, but they didn't assume that he would take any food from their hands. So they would hire other Brahmins to prepare the food, and then they would bring Mahaprasadam from Jagannath Temple and serve the Lord with those items, but they would not cook themselves. And Lord Chaitanya would accept. But here, Lord Chaitanya is directly eating food from his hand, which indicates what a great personality he was. Now, that same person had a younger brother, Gopal Bhattacharya, who was a Mayavadi. So on one hand, we have a Vaishnava, and in the same family, we have a Vaishnava on one side and a Mayavadi on the other side. So a Vaishnava gives great happiness to the Lord, sukha and ulas. But a Mayavadi makes the Lord unhappy, gives him no happiness. So now, apparently, in the flow of the story, what we see here, it's rather short, is that somehow Bhagavan Acharya couldn't pick up on the inner distress of the Lord. So then he was so foolish in one sense, or innocent or ignorant of the fact that he wanted to further push his Mayavadi brother towards Lord Chaitanya by firstly getting approval of Swarup Damodar. He wanted him, oh, Swarup Damodar, please hear my younger brother's commentary on Shairaka Bhashya. And if you approve of it, then he can speak that commentary to Lord Chaitanya. Because that was the system. Something would be run by, we say, run it by my secretary first. If he approves it, I'll look at it. In other words, present it to him if he gives the approval. So then he was not very conscious of the heart of Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya, being Radharani, and how much conscious Lalita Sakhi or Swarup Damodar is of the heart of Lord Chaitanya. So he knew directly that his heart was very disturbed. He was not happy. So then when, as soon as his proposal was presented to Swarup Damodar, oh, I would like, he says, Prema Krodha. He became angry. He says, somewhat angry because of love. And it says, Prema Krodhakari. Surup Damodara reacted in an angry mood of love when he heard this request from Bhagavan. You lost your buddhi nash, buddhi brashta? Like that verse, you know, the contemplation of the object of the senses. Buddhi nashta, brashta and nashta are the same. Buddhi nashta, and you lose your memory and all these things. So he says, you lost, you've gone crazy? Buddhi brashta? Buddhi brashta hai la tamara Gopal Sangha. By associating with your Mayavadi brother, you become crazy. You become a Mayavadi. You want to promote Mayavadi. And so much you want me to hear it, and then you want my approval and sanction so you can tell the same thing to Lord Chaitanya. Get out from here. What is this? And then Bhagavan Acharya, then finally after hearing three shlokas, like three shots from Surup Damodara, then he got the message. Then as Lajjabhaya, feeling greatly ashamed, fear and shame, he remained silent. So Prabhupada usually said, he said, silence means agreement. So if someone presents something, then you're silent, then you agree. Someone says, you stupid, you jerk, this, that. Then you don't say anything. No, I'm not stupid, I'm not a jerk. You should say something. Well, then prove it, whatever. So then he got the message. After that heavy rebukement or chastisement, and he woke up, he shook off the effect of that bad sangha, that dusanga of his brother, and he told his brother to get lost. He said, "Forget about your saying anything, reciting any your so-called fancy commentary on Mayavad. Just get out of here, go home." And then Prabhupada said, he asked him to return to his own district. Return to your own district means get the hell out of here. that's a nice way of saying get the hell out of here fast. Please return to your own domicile, to your own district. So this is an interesting story. Many points about it takes one to know one. If we've entered the heart of the Lord, then we can understand the heart of the Lord. So Bhagavan Acharya was a great devotee. He was a Mahabhagavat, a pure devotee. But he was not of the caliber or level of Lalita Sakhi. So in the hierarchy of devotion, only the highest devotees can understand the highest devotees. It takes one to know one. It takes one situated in the highest Madhurya Sakhi Bhav to understand Radharani's heart. So Lalita Sakhi understands. That's why we can enter the heart, or we can approach the heart, or at least we can approach the heart of Radharani for service through the mercy of Surup Damodara and his teachings. Try to imbibe his teachings and understand his teachings. What are the most important instructions in this, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Is Ramananda Sambhag. And that's the teachings to Vishakhasakhi. Teachings of Vishakhasakhi. Chapter 8, Madhilila. Then all Surup Damodara's teachings. So this is the teaching we're getting here is many, many points. But the main, let's say the main point is about this Mayavad philosophy is dangerous, and we should have no interest in it, not even curiosity, because they say in English, curiosity killed the cat. Kitty cats and Billy, cats are very curious. They're a little intelligent. What's this? And they put their foot in it, and it's a trap, mouse trap, and they get their foot caught in a mouse trap, and then they bleed to death. So they were a little too curious. And even there was no cheese in it, or nothing to eat. It was just set for some reason. A cheap householder didn't even put cheese in it. So this curiosity, you have to be careful.